Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, perspective is an interesting thing. Two people can look at the exact same situation and come away with two different perspectives, thinking that something totally opposite has happened. It all depends on how you look at it. Abraham Lincoln allegedly once said, "You can complain because rose bushes have thorns on them, or rejoice that thorn bushes have roses on them." It all depends on how you look at it. And an example of this can be going to a garage sale or an estate sale. One man's junk truly is another man's treasure, depending upon your perspective. Once again, in our gospel text this morning, Jesus is teaching in parables. The interpretation of the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value also can be viewed in two different perspectives. One is disciple-focused, and the other is Christ-focused. This perspective of the disciple-focused perspective is when the follower of Jesus recognizes the precious value of something that God has to give him, and the disciple wants to do all that he can to inherit that gift. When we look at the treasure, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value, it describes the faithful followers of Jesus sacrificing everything they have so that they might focus and follow on Jesus, receiving the blessings that God has for them. And this is a reasonable view. It's called the cost of discipleship. The child of God joyously sells everything he has in order that he may go by that field where the treasure is buried or purchase the pearl. Quite possibly, when you heard this lesson this morning read, you put yourself in that place of the person who wanted to go out and buy the field or buy the pearl. It's a natural understanding. What more could be worthy of giving up everything to go out and purchase? What more is valuable than the life-saving gospel of Jesus? Salvation through Jesus is so precious, all of us should want to surrender all. Everything else in the world becomes insignificant. But there's a problem here with the disciple-focused perspective. Disciples and human beings, we all look through the lens of sinful eyes. Just because something appears to us as reasonable and natural and well-intentioned doesn't necessarily make it the right thing to do. When we look to Jesus through the lens of human perspective, many times each of us come up with many different conclusions. And more often than not, many of those conclusions are wrong. And that is why Jesus came in the flesh. Scripture is clear, by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. As humans, even though we are saved by grace alone, our sinful nature wants to add to that gift. And this is what makes the disciple-focused perspective so intriguing and so desirable to the human being. How often do good Christian men and women, you and I, try to add something else onto salvation by grace alone, in addition to just merely having faith in Jesus? We've been talking about this recently in adult Bible study. If you were to write it out in the form of a mathematical equation, it would say Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But the disciple-focused perspective says that man has to cooperate. Man has to do something to earn God's favor. And this would be saying that Jesus plus something equals nothing. As soon as you add something to the equation, your decision, your recommitment, your surrender, selling everything that you have so you can focus on Jesus, anything at all that you wish to do to add to that equation, you just made Jesus' death on the cross insignificant. It's like Jesus' suffering and death got you all the way up to death's door, but he wasn't able to get you across the threshold. And it's up to you to get the rest of the way. No one is immune. You, me, we all have muddied perspectives because of eyes that are blinded by sin. The psalmist laments, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It gives Satan great joy to distort your perspective. He likes to take your eyes off of Jesus, off of the cross of Christ, and put those eyes back on yourself. It's the American way. We're pull ourselves up by the bootstraps kind of people. So it's comfortable for us. Now, the opposite perspective from the disciple-focused is the Christ-focused, or better yet, we could call it the Christ-centered focused. It doesn't look through the lens of human reasoning, but it looks through the lens of the gospel of Christ. It looks through the blood-soaked cross, the lens of the blood-soaked cross on Mount Calvary. We know that Scripture always interprets Scripture. And when reading the Bible, you always need to consider the context that Scripture is coming from. All of the surrounding passages and even different chapters to find out what that text is truly saying. One common theme that you will find throughout all of Scripture is God cares for his people. God seeks the lost, and he wants to save the lost. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, we heard that God chose Israel as his chosen possession, not because they were many or few, but because he loved them. He's a God of promises. And even though the Israelites continually turn their backs on him, he holds fast to his promise. He loves those who love him, and he saves them. And it goes on into the New Testament. It didn't end with the Israelites, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save you, because he loves you. While you were still sinners, Christ died to save you from your sin. When we look at the Christ-centered perspective, we need to notice in Jesus' parables, when he teaches, the subject in the parable, we like to make man. But the subject in the parable is always either God or Jesus. God the Father or God the Son is the one doing the acting in the parable. If you look at the parable of the lost sheep, the sheep didn't go looking for the shepherd. No, the shepherd left the 99 and went looking for the lost sheep. In the parable of the lost coin, the coin didn't go look for the woman. No, she stopped everything and went and looked until she found the lost coin. 2 weeks ago, we heard that God is the sower of all the seed, broadcasting his word far and wide. Last week, it was God who was planting the good seed. God is acting. sending his Son into the world to do his work of salvation. All Holy Scripture is Christ-centered, from the beginning all the way to the end. It points to Jesus Christ and his work of salvation to save all of mankind, especially you and me, to save us from our sins. So if the parable of the hidden treasure and the great pearl are to be in agreement with the rest of Scripture, we must say that Jesus, by Jesus' perspective in the parable, you are the hidden treasure. You are the pearl of great value. As the hidden treasure, Jesus saw you dead in your sin and your trespasses. He saw you buried in the grave, 6 feet under the ground. And in his joy, Jesus himself left all that he had. He left the glory of heaven, putting on human flesh, and came to earth so that he might exhume your body from the grave and breathe new life into you, giving you eternal life through him. Jesus saw you as a pearl of great value, not because you're any better looking or worse looking than any of the other pearls, but when he looked on you, he loved you so much that he wanted to give up his very life to buy you. Jesus gave up every bit of his wealth to purchase you and make you his own. Scripture tells us that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. He bought you on Calvary's cross, not with the treasures of this world, not with precious things such as gold or silver, but he bought you with his precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. You see, Jesus plus nothing does indeed equal everything. There's absolutely nothing at all you can do to add to the equation. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." Work was done. At the moment that Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit, Jesus' entire work of salvation was complete. Redemption was accomplished. From God's perspective, it was end of conversation. No more adding, the work is done. From there on, nothing can be added. You don't have to make a decision for Jesus. Jesus decided for you 2,000 years ago. You don't have to sell all that you have to follow him. All that you have is merely a gift that he has already given you. It belongs to him. He's just allowing you to be his steward. You were dead in your trespasses, and dead men cannot save themselves. It's because the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure, his treasured possession. God saved you when the Holy Spirit called you to faith through the hearing of the gospel. He saved you when he drowned your old Adam in the baptismal waters for the forgiveness of sins. And by the grace of God, you were saved through faith in Jesus for the sake of Jesus, because Jesus surrendered it all for you on Calvary's cross. God has provided you with all the perspective that you need. Not human perspective, but Christ-centered perspective. You have the objective truth in God's Word. Recording in Holy Scripture, all points to Jesus. Christ Jesus has declared you free, giving you victory over sin, death, and the devil. And while Satan can continue to attempt to blur your perspective, he cannot take away what Christ has accomplished for you. He cannot take away God's promises. Jesus has given you his sacraments to look toward, where he delivers you. He gives you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And he also gives you the tomb on Easter morning, the empty tomb, as proof that God accepted Christ's sacrifice on behalf of your sin. At that moment, Jesus proclaimed that your debt has been paid in full. It's been accepted by your heavenly Father. So we could say, from God's perspective, all who believe in Jesus are saved. You are reconciled with the Father. You are forgiven and redeemed for the sake of Christ Jesus. And when it comes to the perspective of salvation, it's God's perspective is all that matters. He loves you. He has chosen you as his possession, and he sent his Son to purchase you into eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.